KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forum, your chance to hear from and talk to candidates running for Emporia City Commission and USD 253 school board positions. Candidate Forum is brought to you by Justice Painting, serving the area's painting, epoxy floor coating, and concrete polishing needs. By Ray Roofing Incorporated, call 342-7576 and let their roofing experts go to work for you. By Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. And ESB Financial. ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile banking. Call 342-3454 or visit esbfinancial.com to learn more. And now, today's Candidate Forum.
Good morning. Welcome to KVOE's Candidate Forum on 14 KVOE 96.9 FM and KVOE.com here this Thursday morning. I'm your host, Chuck Samples. And as you heard, our Candidate Forums here, not only earlier this week, but today, and then also coming up later this month, are brought to you by Geotech, ESB Financial, Ray Roofing, and Justice Painting. Today, we're pleased to have with us in studio Emporia City Commission candidates, Jamie Souter and Travis Hitt. Jamie Souter is an incumbent. Travis is as a challenger here for this election. Cycle. Jamie, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, Chuck. How are you today?
So far, so good.
Awesome.
Glad to have you in.
Thank you.
Travis, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
So far, good. Good. And again, thank you both for your time here today. And our format is we really established, or you could say reestablished here on Tuesday with our first City Commission candidate forum, is going to be the same. We have the same questions for fairness. So we will be asking our questions and possibly getting through most of our deck here by about 10:30 this morning. But we will be opening phone line up to questions. That's the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line at 620-342-5863. It's the same number if you want to text that in. It's the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, 620-342-5863. Again, we'll start opening that up here around 10:30 here this morning. Our format is going to be the same as well when it comes to both candidates get a chance to have an opening statement at the start, closing statement at the finish, and we basically agreed that Travis was going to get us started here today with the opening statement, and then Jamie was going to have the final word with the closing statement when we get to that point. So with all of those housekeeping matters basically taken care of, let us start our candidate forum here for you today. And Travis, again, your opening statement. Again, good morning. And what's prompting you to run for a city commission this election cycle?
Thank you, Chuck. Really, this is, for me, this is born out of a love for Emporia. Emporia's always been good to me. I say all the time that Emporia's always been my home. I just didn't know it till I moved here. As an Army brat, we moved around a lot, and so I was looking for a community to call home, and Emporia has always been very accepting of that. So I'd come here to go to school at ESU, and this has been my home ever since. And I've worked very hard for several years to not only build my businesses and things, but to also give back to Emporia, regularly involved in events and things. And I think we have a great community full of all kinds of very capable and energetic individuals, and I'm just here to represent our community.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Jamie, what's prompting you to, in your case, run for re-election for this cycle?
Again, hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for everybody that's tuning in and listening. The people engaging in this process is paramount to making it successful. But 2 years ago when I ran, politics was never something that I aspired to, but I've worked on housing matters, being a real estate professional for a long, long time, and so my initial cause for running 2 years ago centered mainly around housing, but also recharting our economic development future and strengthen our relationships with our local education institutions. Because when you look at the things that make Emporia an attractive place to live, those are some of the legs of the stool, so to speak, that are very important. And I'm proud of the last 2 years of what we've accomplished at the city commission in my time there. I think we've gotten a lot of positive things done. But my cause for running for reelection is to continue on those things because, I want to say finish what we've started. I don't think you're ever finished. I think it's a process, and that's a tricky part of when you're trying to build a community is it's an ongoing process, and it has to be a process that has the right kind of buy-in and shared vision amongst community members so that it transcends commission to commission. And so the things, the plans and things that one commission starts, if there's change on a commission, they're able to pick up where that commission left off on the positive things and continue them and finish them. So, you know, I see part of my first term as finishing what some of the prior commissions started. And then I want to continue to be a part of that. So that's probably the main purpose for my run for reelection.
Understood. Dovetailing off of that first statement, you already mentioned about working as a real estate professional here in town. Mm-hmm. How does the work experience and your life experience really set you up to enhance your stay as a city commissioner if you're reelected?
So yeah, I think by nature I'm a problem solver. I clear back into grade school and high school, middle school. It seems like any challenge has to be answered by somebody. And, when I ran 2 years ago, I felt like housing wasn't really being dealt with by our commission. I don't think they realized the magnitude of the shortage. And so, as far as commission's concerned, my work in the real estate industry, I think, has served me very well. I've had the opportunity to be in several leadership positions, both with the local association. When it was the Emporia Board of Realtors, I served as president for 3 terms, and I served as president. I was the leader of our contingent when we merged with the Topeka Area Association of Realtors, and then served as the president of what is now the Sunflower Association of Realtors, which is the third largest real estate association, realtor association in the state. And then now I'm in line. I'll be the president of the Kansas Association of Realtors in 2 years. My work with them was jump started with giving testimony at the state level for RHID, for RHID laws. We've successfully changed those laws 3 times. I feel like I've been a big part of those changes, in a leadership role from our contingency, from our government affairs contingency. And then I've also served locally on economic development boards, and as well as on our local planning commission. I'd have to go back and check, and this may not be accurate because the years all kind of run together. But I think sure. I think I did with one break. I did 4 terms on the planning commission, which I learned a ton about. How to use public space, how to use and helping private property owners achieve what their goals are with their property. And then, I've served on Emporia Enterprises multiple terms, and then also served on the RDA as a board member and as the chair. So those experiences, I think, have all led to this spot on the city commission, and just learning how all of the different aspects of how our community runs and how our community government runs, and that those different experiences helped me put those pieces together.
Okay, sounds good. Travis, you mentioned here about running several businesses. Talk about that work-life experience that would serve you well if you wind up getting on the city commission this time.
Well, I'm a builder, I guess, by nature. I've always been kind of that guy that when people threw their hands up and said, I don't know, I figured it out. And, I'll go to, it's kind of one of those, I need you to learn Portuguese by tomorrow afternoon. Okay, let me see what I can do. I've always kind of had that attitude of let's roll our sleeves up and get to work and figure it out. And one of the things that I think my time in Emporia, I spent much of that as a first out firefighter and EMT with the city. And I've been blessed to be part of that team that are the ones that people call when they don't know what to do. And it's one of those deals where we'd show up and we'd fix it. We didn't know necessarily what we were getting into, but we'd fix it. And I think that anybody who's running for public office, particularly our, Jamie, our other incumbents, I think they have to have that attitude of we're going to try and fix some things. You wouldn't even be interested in running if you didn't identify some areas that you could maybe do that. So I think I can bring some of my life experience, my time as a builder and knowledge of building construction and how that works. I think would serve me well to understand some of the challenges that we're facing, particularly with housing, with trying to find available lots, to trying to work with developers and builders to want to invest in that venture. Jamie had actually mentioned something the other night that I thought was very poignant, that the real estate world has largely always been privately funded, and without funding, there's no development. So I think it's important that we look at that and we try and figure out how we can work to best represent the city as a whole and make sure that what we're doing is balanced and it's sustainable. It's something we can carry on and afford to pay our bills down the line.
Okay. Let's get into our questions. And the first one is basically one that is pretty much standard. It's what do you see as the biggest issues facing Emporia? Travis, you get a first chance at that.
Obviously, when we think about the biggest issues facing Emporia, we think about the ones that get the most attention. Right now, that's our infrastructure. That's our water main break issue. That's our vehicle replacement programs, whether our departments have the right budgets to be able to function, whether they're using money appropriately, and whether we're balancing maintenance versus purchasing new, and all those things that I think one of the beautiful things about this is that we don't have to know all the ins and outs of that. We just have to hire the right people who will give us the information, and then we can make good decisions. I'm not trying to run the water department. I'm not trying to run public works. There's far more capable people that know the ins and outs of that. But what we need is we need to make sure that we have qualified people in places to handle those programs and those departments, that they're well supported, they're well led, and that ultimately what we're doing is sustainable. It's something that we can say, you know what, we're gonna scale this. We're gonna do so much per year. We're gonna do things like that. And I really think it really comes down to we need maybe some non-traditional thinking or some out of the box ideas. I've always been, if somebody tells me that, well, we've always done it this way, I almost immediately dismiss them as not being worthy of the conversation, because tradition is great, but tradition doesn't take into account new. I mean, tech advances every day. There's new things we can do tech wise. There's all kinds of stuff. I envision a future where, you know, if I can securely log on to the IRS's website and they know it's me, I should be able to vote on that. At some point, maybe we don't need as big of a government system as we need. We'll send an Amber Alert out that locks everybody's phone until you vote yes or no on an issue. I mean, if that's like there's some options down the line. But everyday tech is developing. There's new circumstances. Our economic situation changes, and so if we always approach a situation with the same thinking that got us there, we can expect the same results. And sometimes that's good, but most of the time, I think it's short-sighted and it leaves us primed for failure.
Okay. Jamie, what do you see as the biggest issues facing Emporia? I'm assuming that your list is going to at least dovetail or overlap on what Travis has mentioned to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ways to look at the challenges that we face, and there's short-term issues that, you know, that are right in everybody's face right now. That's the low-hanging fruit, you know, housing, childcare, infrastructure challenges. Those are things that are on the top of everybody's mind just about every morning they wake up in some way, shape, or form. You know, but looking at it from a more of a long-term perspective, and this is the task of a commissioner, is we can't just think of things only short-term. Obviously, we have to address short-term issues because that's, you know, what affects us daily. But how do we address them in a way that have a positive effect for us in long term? And so the word that, and I used this the other night, and I've used this, you know, I've used this even before we ran, you know, before I ran 2 years ago, is how do we capture opportunity? You know, for the first time in my lifetime as an Emporian, I don't remember, and I turned 46 next week, so it's a lot longer than I care to admit. For the first time in my lifetime, I really feel like there is a real opportunity for real growth, real positive growth, and by that I mean population and growing our tax base. And so, you know, the short term issues, the housing, the child care, the infrastructure, those are things that are going to be there today. They're going to be there tomorrow because they're ongoing and they need solutions. But the capitalizing on the long term opportunity of growing our community so that the resources that we provide to our citizens become more affordable because we're sharing that cost. And so how do we build a community that's attractive to people who have opportunity to go anywhere they want for employment? We have job opportunities. Our unemployment rates are incredibly low. We have growth opportunities. The chip plant in Burlington, I'm not skeptical at all. I'm incredibly optimistic, but I, you know, until they start seeing, you know, hiring for jobs, I'm going to, you know, but there's opportunity there. And if it's the magnitude of what we think it is, how do we put ourselves in a position where we're the go-to place for the people that are going to move from out of state? Because they're going to have to come from somewhere, unless we're just cherry-picking them from other jobs locally. So how do we become the go-to place for those people when they decide where they want to relocate their families to? How do we build a place that is inviting and inclusive and provides opportunities, not just job opportunities, but retail opportunities, have public spaces that are inviting and allow people to do the kinds of activities they want to do, have the events and other things that make people want to be part of a community. So it's all in how you look at it. And that's why, you know, that's part of what I think I bring to the commission now and will bring to the commission in the future is not just focusing on the short term, but providing fixes to short-term problems that become long-term solutions as well.
Okay. Jamie Souter, Travis Hitt, our City Commission Candidate Forum guests here today. We're going to take our first break here on our Candidate Forum. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those issues that just came up in the last answer as we continue taking a look at really how our candidates this morning look at the different issues that are facing the City of Emporia, both short-term and long-term. It's 1023 on KVUE and KVUE.com as our Candidate Forum continues this morning.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
You better lease that to corporations.
KVUE News Time is 1025. We continue our candidate forum again with Travis Hitt and Jamie Souter, who are both running for Emporia City Commission. We are going to encourage you to go to KVUE's .com audio vault here the next 3 weeks because Tuesday's program is already in City Commission candidates Aaron Harder, Becky Smith, and Will Spencer. This one will be going in later today or early tomorrow morning, just depending on how things go. And then the one on the 19th with school board candidates and the 24th on the school board will also be going into the KVUE.com audio vault. So you can listen. You can listen multiple times if you want to go ahead and take that time. And we really encourage you to do so here today. Don't forget as well, and we had Lyon County Clerk Tammy Vopot joining us on our morning show yesterday, that voter registration comes to a close Tuesday. Advance voting by mail starts on Wednesday. Advance voting in person, so the county courthouse, will be on the 23rd through the 6th of November. And you do have an off-site voter opportunity here in Lyon County, which will be the 28th, 9 to 1 at the Lyon County Fairgrounds. We have all that information up here this morning on KVUE.com. And we also have launched our voter general election information page on KVUE.com as well. That's sponsored by Community National Bank. We'll be socialing that out here this afternoon as well. But this has information not only about the local races, but also everything across the KVUE listening area, Lyon and surrounding counties, that'll be on the ballots. And our coverage, November 7th, begins at 7 o'clock sharp with the results and candidate reactions that we'll be having here throughout the course of the evening. So stay with KVUE as we continue to keep you posted here on the election as we run up to the official day and then afterward. We mentioned here with our question right before our first break about the biggest issues facing Emporia right now, and both Travis and Jamie said one of those is underground utilities. It's been a very active, it's been a very long summer and fall for public works crews, underground utilities department, and also city contract crews to repair the valves and a lot of water main breaks, whether they're splits, blowouts, issues at joints, however you want to put it. The question comes up here, guys, is how best should the city move forward on the funding side? Because there are several, we mentioned this Tuesday, there are several major projects just getting started or getting launched within the next 2 years. But how best should the city move forward on the funding side for short-term and longer-term underground utility improvements that are going to get things reset and reset in a good way for the next 50 to 75 years? Jamie gets to start us on this one.
It obviously the water lines, the underground water delivery system has been under the magnifying glass here recently due to the maintenance work and I might add much overdue maintenance work on the above ground storage tank on 12th Avenue. And I think we've done a great job of communicating with the citizens, why these breaks have become so frequent, and it's just it just has to do with water pressure. There's so much pressure in the system now because there's no real relief. But as far as funding, our water is we're fortunate right now that we have an ample supply of water. Water is going to become one of the most sought after commodities for our state, especially when you look at what's going on in the western half of the state and the Ogallala Aquifer and what's becoming a scarce resource there. So it's tricky when we talk about how we fund water projects. Water rights have become scrutinized heavily. And so we've negotiated. We have a consultant that helps us negotiate our water rights, Burns and McDonald, out of Wichita and Kansas City, engineers and consultants. And we've negotiated more water from the Council Grove Reservoir, which is important as far as quantity of water. But that comes at a cost. The state is charging higher rates now for the water. The state owns the water. They charge higher rates, and that affects what we charge our customers. But that's also typically – the state also has a fund. They have a loan program for water projects that we borrow from. We're able to borrow at a very low rate, but it's still – there's a cost. And then we have to judge how we charge our citizens for water based off that debt that we incur for the waterline projects. The challenge with waterline projects is, as anyone would know, if you've paid attention to 12th Avenue or 6th Avenue, and then in the coming years, the Southeast Transmission Line, is that they take a long time and they're very expensive. And they're also one of those things, there's a good return on investment from the standpoint of you should have lower ongoing maintenance costs, but they're not something that necessarily make your town worth more to just the average person. So We have pretty good funding mechanisms in place, and we've studied that very, very, very hard as far as what our water rates are going to be, the sewage rates, and how we're able to finance the debt that we've incurred with the recent water projects and with upcoming water projects. And so it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act, and it's how do we continue to provide this utility, which is a necessity for our community, and it's something that a city should provide. Obviously, there's a cost to it. We can't do it for free because there's a cost of maintenance of it, because we bring it in, we treat it, and we distribute it out. So how do we do it in a way that allows us to provide ongoing maintenance for the system that's in place, but also do it in a way that's fair to our customers so that we're only charging them what we have to and not using it necessarily as a profit center?
One question I'm going to follow up on that is: are there any other mechanisms, maybe funding mechanisms, that are available right now that the city can tap into, or right now, given the situation, basically, or those funding revenue streams, for lack of a better term, pretty limited at this stage?
Borrowing from the state is going to be the easiest way, because it's a low rate and it doesn't necessarily come out of our budget. What we have to budget for is the debt service on it. So borrowing from the state and the state's water fund, which all cities do, is going to be the most effective way and the most economic way for us. If you have a special project, I'm sure there's grants available to, you know, if it's for a certain kind of, you know, if it's a lift station for the sewer system, or if you identify something, there's typically grants that apply towards special projects, but that's a kind of a case-by-case basis. So utilizing the state's revolving loan program is going to be, in my opinion, the most effective way.
Got it. Travis, do you see any maybe other funding ideas that may help the city to stretch its underground infrastructure dollars?
I would certainly mirror what Jamie says. The problem is that most of the rules, so to speak, that govern this whole thing are pretty clear cut, like as far as how you can mix funds and what money can be used for what and how you can do that. And so it's, I think that certainly we need to make sure that we're writing this in as a line item priority budget issue for quite a while. I think there's maybe some areas that we could probably save some money by hiring the right supervisors and such, and doing a lot of the work ourselves instead of contracting out with other people. Since we know this is going to be a huge infrastructure maintenance issue for years to come, maybe we come up with our own underground crews that get really, really good at patching and fixing and that kind of thing. I think certainly we need to be taking care of our guys who are often out at all hours of the day and night dealing with this. You know, I think it's one of the things that there's no other way to say it other than we have to make it a budgetary priority, and we have to make sure that there's enough money that we don't run into an issue that we have to accept crazy terms or do something that just doesn't make long-term sense for us. Like, we need to make sure that we're, you know, we've been pretty forward-thinking, and past commissions have set aside some money to be able to make sure that we can handle some of those issues. And I think we need to do that and multiply that effort considerably.
Understood. Travis, let's talk about the housing market. It's obviously been tight for a while. How do you see Emporia best handling this issue going forward? And as a connected question to that, where may be the best places for Emporia to do some building?
Well, I think with anything, things need to be balanced. You know, if you cut all the limbs off one side of a tree for years, the tree's falling over on the neighbor's house. It's not rocket science to understand that we need to make sure that we're growing equally in different areas so that we don't end up with an old ghost town part of town and where all the industry and business and things are. And Emporia, we're kind of limited because we're largely stuck between two rivers and landlocked between floodplains and things. So we're running out of some areas for sure. The big push has been northwest towards America's area. Everybody who owns that land at this point knows how valuable it is. it's not super available. They're holding on to it and holding out for a big check. And rightfully so. I mean, I don't blame them at all. So I think at this point our push needs to be east and northeast. I think we need to go out towards East 6th Avenue area. I think we need to go towards Burlingame Road area. The Metropolis development there just north 35 off Burlingame will be a huge boom, I think, for the east side of town. The more new development we have there, the more attractive it is for businesses to come there. You know, we could use more grocery stores in several of our neighborhoods and things. But the thing is, the city doesn't control that development. All we can do is we can make it attractive for industry to come there. We can help balance our growth and things so that they want to invest in those neighborhoods. And, you know, there's kind of the whole joke that, like, you know, if you sprinkle seeds in the right spot, a Dollar General will grow up overnight. You know, that's kind of, or a Casey's General Store. You know, but there's a, you know, those are two.
I'm in favor of one of those.
but those are two businesses that really, you know, serve a lot of our community. And you think about at this point, people that live south of town, their closest option is going to be a gas station to buy milk or diapers or any of the things. A lot of people in some of those legacy neighborhoods don't have reliable transportation, and they are walking to get where they need to be. What do their sidewalks look like? And I can tell you, I've walked down several of them, and I don't have mobility issues, and they're hard to navigate sometimes. So, you know, is our sidewalk replacement program balanced, or is it only in certain areas? And I don't have those answers, but those are questions that people have asked me and that I'm asking. Like, let's make sure that we're doing everything to support the community as a whole. I think there's lots of infill options that we have. I think that we can do different things to, you know, obviously with working with dilapidated structures and abandoned structures and things, and helping homeowners or property owners demo properties that are unsafe or unsanitary, you know, to make way for new development. I think there's all kinds of things we can do there. But ultimately what we need is we need private industry to want to invest in Emporia. And the money's got to come from somewhere. And outside of the city building a large apartment complex, I don't know, you know, I don't know what we can do other than to be an attractive spot for investment.
Jamie, you've been in, obviously, your career is real estate. So, I mean, you've seen some of the projects that are underway. You've worked on some of the projects that are, you know, helping to alleviate the housing shortage. But really, how does the city move forward with this? And from your perspective, where would be good places to build given the limitations physically that the city has?
Yeah, this is, I mean, I guess I'll just warn everybody, buckle up, because this is something that I could, you know,
I could go
several hours on this, because it's a complex challenge. And I'll be honest with you, my first answer is going to contradict my recent actions at the city commission, because the best, most sustainable way that we can grow right now that's affordable is infill. The challenge is how we've approached infill. We can't approach infill one house here, one house there. We have to identify areas of town that have existing infrastructure that are acquirable, meaning can be purchased by either a developer or through a public-private partnership, that don't displace a whole bunch of residents, that utilize existing infrastructure and existing structures. So you tear down the bad, you fix up what can be salvaged, and you create more housing without expanding your footprint. So all things being equal, if our town's not going to grow, if we're going to stay right around 24,000, adding new subdivisions only adds more roads, okay, more stoplights, more underground utilities that have to be maintained over time by the same amount of people who are already paying for what we already have. It makes our property taxes go higher. So infill is the best long-term solution, with all things being equal, again, population being the same and so on. The problem with a long-term comprehensive infill plan is it takes forever. It is something you can't just say, well, we're going to do this now, and here's the money, and this is where we're going. You know, without in the absence of someone winning the lottery, which someone in California won the Powerball this morning, 1.3 $2.5 billion or whatever. I mean, in absence of that, you know, in absence of a blank check, infill is very tricky to do it on a scale that's impactful. Because, again, we want to prevent sprawl. So the short-term answer is greenfield development. Okay, so what can we afford? Okay, what and more importantly, what can we build that our consumers can afford? Okay, construction costs are through the roof expensive anywhere. We're also in a market that has a limited number of people who can do construction work, which makes the costs exponentially higher than more metropolitan areas. So greenfield is a challenge to, and it's a challenge to find the right mix of density where we can add enough homes that help offset the infrastructure cost. But also building with an economy of scale so that we're able to make the, you know, the old word is affordable. The new word is attainable. We need attainable housing. We need housing that a bulk of our community can afford, not just the wealthiest people in our community that can afford. And that's challenging. It's challenging to find contractors that want to do it, because what we're immediately asking contractors to do is to reduce their margins. We're asking them to reduce what they charge for their labor. In the name of saving money for the developer. We're asking material providers to give us a discount. And it's so when you have to have everybody come to the table cutting what they make in order to make a project go, it's challenging. It's very, very hard. And so, you know, housing is it's such a complex challenge, and there's not one simple answer. So I think that you know, I heard from the Tuesday broadcast of the forum, a couple of the candidates mentioned going west. I just don't think that's the right answer right now. The cost of that infrastructure and then to through the RHID, the cost of your product is important, because the higher property tax, you know, higher incremental tax increase you get on the property tax helps pay for that infrastructure through the RHID. So we have mechanisms in place to offset infrastructure costs, but then what product are we building and who can afford it? Because I will tell you, I've sold real estate in this town for almost 20 years. And there, I mean, right now, a house that cost $250,000 to build 10 years ago costs about $475,000 today. Well, I will be the first one to tell you, there are not very many people right now who not only can afford to own a $475,000 house, there's not very many that want to afford that, with interest rates being what they are. So there's so many factors that make this problem complex. Again, looking at it short term, we need some greenfield to address workforce housing. Long term, the most sustainable way to do it is through infill, and that is a very hard deal. And again, I go back to commissions change. So commissions tend to have short-term goals rather than long-term plans. One of the things, and I know I've gone on and on about this, and I'll shut up after this. The next time we do a comprehensive plan for our community, we need to have a comprehensive plan that's attainable, that's not, and not aspirational. Our comprehensive plan that we have right now is a really good read, but can we do any of it? And you know, if we've learned anything through the zoning codes fiasco, it's going to be a real challenge to make what's in our comprehensive plan now a reality, because it's more aspirational than it is attainable.
It's 1044 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Our candidate forum will continue after this. Again, we're talking with Jamie Sauter and Travis Hitt. We will open up things to the phone line, 620-342-5863, and we do have at least one question on the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, which we'll hope to get to here in just a second. 1045 as candidate forum continues on KVUE.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool.
Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
1047 on KVUE as our candidate forum continues with Emporia City Commission candidates Jamie Souter and Travis Hitt. And again, your questions coming here shortly, although we don't have a large window to get those. We'll try to get one or two of those in here in just a second. Did want to ask, though, about expanding child care options for residents and businesses, and specifically the city's role in this. We're starting to find out more about just how impactful child care is becoming as an economic driver or an economic component. So I guess, Jamie, what are your thoughts here on what role the city takes here to address / meet the needs that are here and what are coming?
Yeah, I'll admit that I have a limited understanding of childcare problems because it just hasn't been real relative to our personal life. But I obviously know that it's a challenge for the community. I think that the biggest challenge that we face with childcare is state regulation. You know, child care operators have to charge an amount to get a living wage, and they're limited on how many customers they can have based off of how many people they have to supervise. And so, I mean, it's a math problem. And so, if there's a change in regulation where they can add a kid or two more, and hopefully that cost savings is passed on to the customers, you know, to me, that's, that might be a logical economic solution. I don't know how that works, and then that change has to come at the state level. Locally, our role as a government, I would have to think, would probably be limited to helping sponsor grant funding. If you know, in the housing world, if you have like an MIH grant, a moderate income housing grant, having the city help sponsor an applicant helps. If there's the similar situation in childcare, that's where I would see the city government role being.
Okay. Travis, what are your thoughts here as far as city government's role in meeting the child care needs and possibly helping economic development in that way?
Well, child care is obviously an issue, and it's expensive. It's been expensive for years. My kids are almost 18, and I remember when they were young, it really seemed like I was working to pay for daycare. But sometimes it was the peace of mind of, like, I wasn't at home with them all day, and I appreciate my time in the evening with them much more. You know, like, hats off to stay-at-home parents. It's evident why some species eat their young. our kids can be very aggravating, and there's challenges and things. So child care is an issue. People need to be able to go to work and know that somebody's going to be able to provide for their children in their absence, that they're going to be an advocate for them, they're going to have their best interests in mind, that they're going to have going to be a safe environment, those type of things. I think we can – this is an area that we can take a cue from private industry, particularly local. And this is something that I'm passionate about and something I know a little bit about. One of the things that I've done the last several years is I've worked for Sunflower Care Homes here in Emporia. It's a local company that was started by Dr. Sharice Simmons and Clint Arndt, and I've been on the building side of building facilities and such. And one of the things that they did is they took an unprecedented step in building a on-site daycare facility into the care home. And so the staff can bring their kids to work with them, essentially. And they're next door. If there's an issue, they can pop over, handle it, come right back. It's not, oh, I got to go pick my kid up from daycare and I'm going to be gone for an hour and you're just got to deal with my absence. You know, there's it's a beautiful model. The children can interact with the residents can interact with the children. As the children are learning, the residents are reinforcing some of the same information that the kids are learning, and it's great. Like you see, you can see the residents really come alive. It's a beautiful thing. I think that our industry could do similar things. I was super excited when Simmons was talking about buying the old
Maynard School,
right. And doing a daycare development deal there. I thought that would have been huge. Because what that would have done is it would have alleviated a lot of pressure off of other daycares, like in-home daycares and such, who then could have brought in other, you know, other new clients. We're still having kids at an elevated rate. The problem is not going to go anywhere. So we need to create more opportunities for daycare. And I think the city could take a cue and, you know, let's build a new fire station and let's take the old fire station one and remodel it and turn it into a city run daycare. That's maybe even a discounted or a perk included for city employees, which would help us attract and retain more, you know, better employees, particularly young professionals who are both starting a family and starting their career. So I think that's something we could look at, the city taking a lead and opening its own childcare facility and using models that exist in our community already, such as Sunflower Care Homes, and building on that. Like the governor came down and was like so impressed with the whole operation. KDHD was super excited about it, and they're out there telling other communities about what they've done at Sunflower Care Homes. And I think we could take a cue from that, and the city could really pick this up and say this is important to our community, and we're going to commit to it.
So 10:53 on KVUE and KVUE.com. We're going to take our final break here on KVUE's Candidate Forum. Closing comments will be next with Travis Hitt and Jamie Souter as we wrap things up here on KVUE.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Final segment on KVUE's Candidate Forum here on KVUE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM with Jamie Souter and Travis Hitt for Emporia City Commission. Don't forget we have school board candidate forums the 19th and the 24th. Both will be on KVUE and KVUE.com live, and your questions will be welcome. And don't forget that our program here this morning will be going into the KVUE.com audio vault here later today or tomorrow. And again, we want to thank Jamie and Travis for their time here with us today. And we're right up to closing argument time, or closing statement time, I should say. We're not in court. I guess, Travis, the question comes up here, and it's a really simple question here for closing statement. Why should the voters cast their vote for you coming up by November 7th?
I think that I have a depth of knowledge and experience, as well as a professional curiosity that drives me to learn and to know why things, not just how they work, but why they work, and the principles that that's built on, so that we know how to fix things. I've always been a let's fix the problem instead of treating the symptoms kind of guy, and I think that we need some of that kind of thinking in our city government. I think that we need more. I think we need new ideas. I think that we need better representation for some of our marginalized communities. I think we need to. I mean, Emporia is a factory town, and the fact of the matter is that we roll the sidewalks up at 5 in most places, and the only place to do anything after 10 o'clock generally is Quick Shop. I mean, we need to look at the fact that we're a third shift town or a three shift town. Like we work 24 hours a day. That's primarily what we are. I think everybody needs to have a voice and make sure that we're doing things that matter to them and their families, that we're improving our quality of life. There's a number of things that we could do that would do that. And I've got some great ideas that I want to help try and bring to the city and see what good we can do.
All right, Travis, well, thank you. Thanks for coming in and appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, Jamie, why should voters cast their vote for you on November 7th?
Well, again, thank you for hosting the forum. I think I closed with this Tuesday night, and I'll use it again today because it's a lot of my inspiration. But I have a history degree from Baker University, but my most impactful class that I took while I was there was a political science course called State and Local Government. And the main premise I learned in that is that, you know, while federal government activity and what happens in D.C., that's what the major networks cover, and that's what a lot of and that makes people's focus, I think, turn to a lot because they feel like that impacts their lives. The state also gets a lot of headlines, and I think a lot of people feel like that impacts their lives as well. But local government is what impacts people on a daily basis, and so what we're doing, the work we're doing, is incredibly important. And it's problem solving at a level that affects people immediately in their pocketbooks. And so, you know, the my goals and my vision of Emporia, I think, if people were able to read my mind, I think most people would agree, with the visions and goals that I have for the community. Because it's a community where everybody has an opportunity to be successful, and also benefit from each other's success. You know, I think another reason to vote for me, and I hope Travis doesn't mind me sharing this, but you know, what people haven't heard today is our conversation while we're off the air. Travis has brought up good ideas today that I haven't thought of, and I already want to try to figure out how to get those implemented, you know, at a local level, whether it's his take on childcare or other areas as well. And so, you know, I've never been contrary to what some believe, including my wife, I don't feel like I've ever been so bullheaded to think that the only good idea is my idea because it's my idea. I love to learn from other people. I love to learn from other people's experiences and try to get that implemented so others can benefit from them too. And I think that's a good reason why to vote for me.
All right. Well, Jamie, Travis, thanks so much for joining us here today. Thanks again for your willingness to serve our community. And best of luck to both of you here the rest of the election cycle. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Travis Hitt and Jamie Souter, Emporia City Commission candidates, wrapping up our City Commission portion of the candidate forums here this morning. Don't forget that on the 19th, we will have Jeremy Dorsey, Grant Riles, Leslie Seeley for School Board at 10:06. The 24th has our guest as Linda Forbes, Christy Grant, Art Gutierrez, and Sam Tovar. 1101 on KVUE and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Today's candidate forum on KVUE has been brought to you by Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia.